Well, hello and welcome to the Bottom Line Me podcast, where we like to spend some time exploring issues, hurdles, challenges, all things that real estate and title agents face and their team often face in the closing arena. I'm your host, Ann Allard, and today we're going to focus on prospecting, which in my opinion is the lifeblood of any business. Frankly, some of us love the challenge and all are always on the lookout for new opportunities. And some people really fear the rejection or they have lacked the confidence to go out and prospect. And they're really uncertain as to where to start. So today I've got a special guest, Ron Mercer. Ron's an agency representative manager here at Old Republic Title, and he often works with his title agents who find prospecting kind of challenging. He likes to help them develop strategies and processes that will propel their business to new heights of success. So, Ron, welcome. It's so great to have an opportunity to spend some time with you.
This is great, Ann. I'm really excited.
Great.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're really excited to have this conversation because I'm sure it's one of those things, particularly when the market is in the state it's in right now, people are always out looking for new business opportunities and new prospects, new sources of business. So, I know this is a subject that you're really passionate about. So before we even dive into it, I'm just curious as to what is it about prospecting that caused you to want to help your customers or teach them about prospecting or the art of prospecting?
Well, prospecting is the only thing that we really have control over to drive revenue. We can't control the order count. We can't control the size of deals that come in. But what we can control is the number of people that we are adding to our pipeline, and we can control how well we interact with those people. And everything else is a result, and you just kind of have to let the cards fall where they will. But you have control over those two inputs. You can control the number of people and how well you interact with them. And then the results will be what they will.
They will. Well, so let's talk about misconceptions. What are some of the common misconceptions that people have or that you've heard that they face when they're thinking about prospecting?
Yeah, so the agents that I've gotten a lot of headway with talking to them about prospecting are typically agents of, they have smaller branches or they may not have a business development rep. And so the duty falls on the escrow team. Or it's a situation where the escrow team and the business development officer are expected to work in tandem in growing the business. And typically your business development folks are, they're real gregarious. They're parrots as the taking flight as described. They're the social butterflies. They're the life of the party everywhere they go. And escrow officers that I've noticed tend to be a little more on the owl and doves spectrum of the personality type. So they're a little more introverted. They're a little more detail oriented and focused, and they wouldn't consider themselves to be the life of the party when they walk. They're not the ones that are going to light up a room when they walk in. They're the ones that are going to find someone that they connect with and have a meaningful conversation in a social setting. And they can kind of, you gravitate towards a corner and have a conversation with a glass of wine. Right. And so I think that the misconception is that you have to be a certain way to be successful at prospecting. And so what I tell my escrow officers is that realtors are not looking to do business with people who are just like them. They're looking to do business with people who are just like you. They're looking for someone who's a steady hand at the wheel, who can deliver a quality product and in a timely manner and communicate with confidence and assuredness that everything's going to be okay. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for someone just like you.
Awesome. How do they respond or react when you point that out to them. That's really, because I think it's so, as a general rule, they're probably not in the mindset of prospecting because they're focused on the transaction. So I'm just wondering how well they receive that.
Well, I was with an agent the other week, and I have like a team of escrow folks that are going through the mentorship program kind of together at their own pace. And we were talking about one of the modules, and this came up about building your business. And someone wrote down on a big post-it note with lines on it all the things that they felt inadequate about, or that their competitors do better than them because they have the social media marketing, they have all these other things. And when I told them that, she took that post-it note and she shredded it right there at the table.
Really?
And yeah. and so it just really brightened my day to because I visibly saw her shoulders, you know, release a little bit. And
right.
So it was cool that you know, she was able to identify that, you know what, I am made for this. I'm going to do well at this. So it was great.
Great. So once you've got them, you know, convinced or open to the idea of doing it, where does somebody begin? How do you help them start?
Well, I encourage them not to go after the whales. Because if you're new to prospecting, you know, the temptation is to say to yourself, I have to get the biggest agents because I want to, you know, either I want to stand out or that's how I'm going to be successful. And I would say that that's not how you need to measure your success or get started. I really recommend starting with the low hanging fruit. And especially if you're new to prospecting, the idea of making a phone call to someone who's very different than you and trying to get together and they've never met you before is really, really, really daunting. You know, there's a huge fear of rejection that comes up with that. And so I say start with the low-hanging fruit, because with every contract that you have coming through your door, there's at least one additional person who you can actually classify as a customer. I wouldn't say that they're a loyal customer, but they are a customer because their name's on the contract in your door. And because the contract is in your office, you have grounds and standing to connect with them. It's your duty and responsibility to take care of all of your customers on the contract. And so even though you may be prospecting, what you're actually doing is just taking care of your customers. You're just expanding your net of who your customers are, or changing the way that you identify the people on your contract.
Interesting. So now that they've identified somebody, what are some of the challenges that they face when they're either trying to figure out, is this really a good prospect for me? Or, you know, to put it another way, how does somebody go about identifying what a good prospect looks like? Is there a certain, do you have them help with put together a profile of the type of customer that they're going after? Or what kinds of things do you recommend or suggest?
Yeah, there's a really great tool in the mentorship program called the Prospect Qualifier. And so we have people kind of write down a top 10 list and then, you know, your next five. But for the purposes of getting started, you can start with the contracts that are currently in your pipeline or have recently closed. And I would recommend looking through those agents and then using the qualifier, I wish I had it up in front of me, but I don't have all the different categories. But, you know, one of the categories would be, you know, what's their business volume? Another one would be, you know, what's the likelihood that they'll bring you another deal? But I think one of the most important categories is their responsiveness. And that can also be, you can also think about how nice they are. Was it a pleasant experience working with them? Because people like to do business with who they like.
No question.
So if you're starting, I would review those transactions and think about the agents that were responsive, they have business. I wouldn't necessarily go after the biggest ones, not yet. And then who are the ones that were easy to work with? And go from there.
So here's a question for you. How does somebody measure their success when they're prospecting?
Okay. I'm going to tell a story. And I shared this story with everyone that I talked to about prospecting, because it was the one piece of advice that I got from a manager that transformed the way that I do sales. You know,
I'm all ears.
So back in, gosh, it was 2010, I think, I worked at the Apple store. I was newly married and I lived in Portland, Oregon, and I was in one of the busiest stores in the nation. The Portland store was. And like I said, we're newly married. We didn't have insurance. And so in order to get insurance through Apple, you had to be a full-time employee. Well, to have full-time status, you had to meet certain objectives, certain sales objectives. So we had the products, then we had the warranty, then we had the in-store training. Those were extra costs that would be associated with the purchase of the computer. So there are certain goals that we needed to meet. And being the new husband that I was, I wanted to provide for my family. So I drove myself to sell these extra things. And what happened was my numbers began to tank. And my manager pulls me aside, and I will never, ever forget this. He says, "Ron, we don't need you. We don't need you to sell this stuff. This stuff sells itself. Okay? We didn't hire you to do that. We hired you because there's something special inside of you that our customers have to have. And if you give them what that is, then everything else will take care of itself." So I took a couple days and I thought about that, and I began to change my goal. I still had the same drive, but I had to shift where that drive was going. So I changed it from the attachment items to hugs. If I could get 2 hugs from a customer in a day, then that meant that I was listening, I was understanding their needs, I was identifying what pain points they had, and I was providing a solution that alleviated those pain points to the degree that they wanted to give me a hug. Now, that wasn't necessarily associated with the purchase. That could have been, "Hey, my phone's not working right," and I listen and all this stuff, and say, "Well, have you tried restarting your phone?" You know, it could have been just something as simple as that. Right. And then they were like, "Oh, this is great. Thank you." Then they give me a hug. But it also could be, you know, I don't need to go into all the different types of transactions it was, but my success wasn't measured by the transaction. It was measured by the way my customers responded to me personally. And so, I would say when it comes to prospecting, don't measure your success by order count. Measure your success by people and relationships that you're developing. People like people. People want to help people. And we all need each other. That's the thing, too. Like, we need one another to get on in this world. And the more connections that you develop, that's going to drive your success.
Wow. What a great story. And you're absolutely right. Sometimes I need somebody to remind me to turn my phone off and restart it. There's no question. If I could, I'd give you a hug for that one, because I'm having some phone issues today. You know? But while we're on the subject of technology, you know, how do you balance the traditional prospecting methods with a lot of the new digital technologies that some people embrace and others struggle with?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Technology gives us a lot of amazing tools, a lot of ways to reach out and be in front of people. And it is important to have a digital presence, because it's kind of like a billboard. It validates the fact that your company exists and your company is doing things in the marketplace. Okay.
Right.
This is my personal view. Our brains are wired for human interaction. And I feel like in the industry, and also, you know, on the greater scale, we have really swung really far to over-reliance on digital media. And we've lost the art of connecting with people. Now, in the prospecting world, there are companies that have tremendous efforts in social media, and they're doing a bang up job, and it works for them. And I would say it's okay if it doesn't work for you. There are other ways besides that to grow your business organically. And as I said before, our brains are wired to interact with people, and our bodies are wired to interact with people, right? We have hormones and pheromones that are designed to build connections with one another. And if we have a screen in between, we deny ourselves that human connection. And so, like, when you're talking with someone face to face, if you say something that they really like, their body is going to respond. You're going to see their pupils dilate. You're going to see them lean in. You're going to see them be more attentive to what you had to say. And that way, you know that you're building a meaningful connection. But on a, you can't get that through digital means. You can't get that through a text message campaign. You can't get that through TikTok videos. You can't get that through all those things. So, in the risk you run, I think, with an over-reliance on social media is that because of that human distance, or because of that digital, the distance that it creates, it's easier for customers to leave and go to another provider because they don't have the neurological and biological connection with people. But that can be a deeper conversation for another day. But
Well, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's so much easier to say no to somebody over, in an email than it is when you're in front of them, or to say,
yeah.
or to even ask the next question, or to challenge something, So, yeah, it's much easier to do it when you're hiding behind a screen. So,
Yes, so much
yeah,
easier.
exactly. So, well, I know you really like the personal connection, and so I'm just wondering if you have any success story around prospecting that you could share with us. I know you've worked with a lot of customers, a lot of your agents on it, and I'm just curious if you could share a story with us.
Okay, so I guess it was about a month ago. I shared one of our presentations called "Turning Prospects into Customers" with a branch of one of mine, and it was interesting. It was impromptu. I was just there just for a normal visit, and conversation just kind of led towards it. So I grab my iPad, plug it in, and we start talking. And I notice that the escrow officer is taking vigorous notes, but before that, she was kind of perturbed because she had a lot to do. But once we started getting into it, she grabbed that notepad and she was just, like smoke was coming off her pen. And it was a great presentation. And then I left, and a couple weeks later, she gives me a call and she says, "Hey, Ron, I just wanted to say thank you." I said, "What's going on?" She said, "Well, after you left, we all gathered and we talked about how to implement the strategies that were laid out in the presentation. And the following week, we had a closing in which a new real estate agent had her broker come with. And we did what we normally do in our closing, and they provide phenomenal customer service. And it really impressed the broker. So my agent followed up with, which is one of the steps in the thing, she followed up post-closing and interacted with the broker and the agent that she was working with, and she invited them to lunch. They brought the whole team of seven realtors
Really?
to that lunch, and they had a great time. They talked about the services they provide, that. And so she got to add seven new agents to their roster simply by following the steps in connecting with people. So you never know what's going to happen when you reach out and connect with folks and you take great care of your customers
That is a
before, during, and after the transaction.
Well, congratulations to you on bringing that to your customer and then hearing the great success that they had with it. So that's awesome. That's awesome. So I think at this point, you may know if you've watched our podcast in the past that we like to get the bottom line on whatever the topic is. And so I think my question to you, can you bottom line us on what advice would you give to someone that is trying to improve their prospecting skills or their prospecting process?
Sure. So I would say, if you're an escrow officer, what I would say to you is you're made for this. You have what it takes. Start small and start. Start with what you have in hand and let the chips fall where they will, and you'll be surprised at the results.
Well, that's a great way to bottom line us. That's a great conclusion. Thanks, Ron. Ron, this was a great conversation. A lot of food for thought here, a lot of great ideas. And so I want to thank you so much for taking the time today to talk with me and share some of your findings and your stories and your ideas with us. And to our audience, thank you all for joining us. If you're interested in learning more about any of the programs that Ron mentioned, be sure to reach out to your Old Republic Title sales rep or send a message to us at agencyuniversity@oldrepublictitle.com. Till we meet again, may you all continue to learn, grow, and prosper. Thank you.
Thank you.